A Comedy for Radio by Andrew Sachs, with Prunella Scales and Timothy West as Mr. and Mrs. Avon. Made in Heaven.
Work 5 more rows. 5. That's never enough. Deck 1 stit at armhole edge to last 3 stits. K2 tog, K1. And then there's the children. Drudge. Mrs. Drudge, that's me. Day in, day out. Nothing but drudging, drudgery, drudgeration. Till drudge us do part. Oh, yes, there's him too. He's got some funny habits. And he's no understanding of the work I have to do here. Why? That's what I should like to know. Why? The neighbours go off to Majorca. Across the road is Borgia Cunatelli, but I have to sit here knitting pullovers for my children, and all they can do is grow out of them. Of course, it's no use expecting gratitude from your own, but they never even thank you for all the sacrifices. And it's not only knitting, there's the sewing as well. But not electric, oh no. It's pedalling up and down all day with my feet. As if I hadn't enough to do with my feet as it is. It's hard to bear when you've other things to do as well, like the washing up. They always manage to leave something on the plate to clog up the sink. And I haven't got a plunger. Other husbands give their wives little presents like that from time to time, but not him, oh no. Never even takes his shoes off when he comes in. Doesn't matter if I've just done the hoovering. I try to keep the house nice and clean. Well, you only have to count the number of times I empty the vacuum cleaner and the number of vacuum cleaners I have to empty. And I've got no maids, nothing like that. Only the man once a week to move the furniture so as I can clean underneath. I've collected quite a bit of furniture over the years and it doesn't polish itself. I try to keep every stick of it shiny. Shiny, shiny, till it comes up like plastic. And then the children drag their hands all over it. I've given up years of my life to keep a nice home going for my husband and children, when I could have had a career and been somebody. Still, I'm not one to complain. There's no time, what with polishing the floors, cleaning the vacuum, cooking the laundry, sewing the lino, wash up, dry, try, iron, press, depress. K2, tug, K1.
Hello, Harriet, I'm home.
That's him now.
Where are you? In the front room.
Oh, knitting. Ah, it's good to be home.
You've slobbered all over me.
It's affection.
Infection. You're wearing socks.
I left my shoes outside.
On paper. I've just scrubbed the hall, you know.
It's sparkling.
I was thinking, we don't use this room very much. Perhaps we could buy a 3-piece suite for it. It would look nice with these others.
Sweetheart. What's been happening to you today, my love?
Nothing.
No callers?
No.
Letters?
No.
Telephone?
No.
Nothing at all?
No.
Exciting.
And then there's the children. Come on, I've got your supper in the kitchen.
Supper? Yum, yum.
Avon, your shoes are not on paper.
Oh, yes, so they are.
Not?
Not. Aren't you eating with me, love?
I'm too strung up. What's all that stuff?
Ah, I hoped you'd ask. They're forms from the office. There's an RF2A buff and 3 index declarations made and a C100 with duplicates. Quite a collector's piece, that one, or will be.
Hmm.
All perfect examples. The RF2A went out in 1949.
Fancy.
Not the overprint version, of course. That lasted another 2 years. Well, where shall we have them? On the chair? On the table? The sideboard? No?
And then there's the children.
Yeah, I'll put them on the table in front of you. Cheer you up. I can see you're not feeling cheerful tonight. Have you got a pain?
Of course. Am I ever without one?
Oh, my little heart. Why don't you go and see the doctor?
Ah.
Where is your pain today, my love?
At the back of my calf.
It's moving up, then.
Just here, feel.
Oh, yes, there's a lump. It must be very...
Not there, here.
Oh, of course. Oh, yes, there's a lump. It must be very painful.
I had to stand up to do my knitting today.
Forms don't have lumps.
And I couldn't watch the television. The new bookcase is in the way. We'll have to get another set for when I'm standing doing my knitting.
Another one?
You don't want me to crick my neck, do you?
No, no.
I like to relax sometimes. Not that it's possible in this house, cleaning up after you and the children, slaving away with never a moment to spare for the telly unless I stand up and dislocate my neck. And that doesn't do the pain in my knee any good.
I thought it had only moved up to the calf.
Yes, well, as I say.
Yeah.
And then there's the children. One of them cut his head open today. That meant a plaster. And it all has to come out of the housekeeping.
Which one?
Which one what?
Which one of the children?
Which one of the children?
Yes.
Well, how do I know?
Oh.
My concern was with the wound. You don't ask for names in an emergency like that.
But didn't you recognise him?
You're so tiresome, Ave, and of course I recognised him. How else would I know it was one of ours? I can't afford to go sticking plaster all over other people's children, you know.
Are they all in bed?
Yes. Washed, dried.
And polished.
Clean clothes, ready for school as usual. And I changed the sheets this morning. That's besides everything else.
You're working too hard, my little darling.
Hmm.
Perhaps we can get a daily, next year, say.
That means somebody else to clean up after.
No, no, a daily is supposed to clean up after you.
Me? Me, Avon? I need cleaning up after. You're not home 5 minutes before the insults start.
I didn't mean... I mean clean up before you. Well, that is, I wouldn't dream of... Everything's so tidy and lovely because of you.
Oh, get on with your fish. Besides, you don't earn enough for a daily.
I could ask for a rise.
10 pence. 50. Don't be ridiculous. Perhaps if you'd had a bit of ambition and drive in the past, changed your job, I wouldn't need a slave like this now.
Oh, I couldn't change my job. It's a good, steady job. It suits me very well. I meet a lot of forms in my work.
Yes, of course, that's all that matters. I have to sacrifice, but you know. I had the chance of a career once, but it was taken away like everything else... You and your
fault. Here
I
we
wish
go
anything could be
again.
So easy for me. Some people happy enjoy looking after the house and be. Children. They'd be unhappy away from the routine and chores. They actually
what
like washing and
you are, my
it gives
little
them a thrill
lover.
Because they haven't been brought up to anything else. I suppose you
if
think
your
like
whining
that too.
Hasn't stopped if in 5 seconds, my love, something will go snap inside me and I shall become an uncontrollable monster with a deep, delightful urge to push your ugly face in.
Operation.
One,
I mean, a really satisfying
two,
operation. I can
three,
talk about. And then a lovely
four,
afterwards to
five. I'm sorry, my little honey bunny. This is going to hurt you more than it does me.
With no worry about the loan, you're going out of this and that. See how you
no good. Let's have that bread knife then.
And it always comes down to me.
I want to see blood. Very well. I'm going to strangle you with my own clawed, hairy hands while I sink my vampire fangs into your scrawny flesh. The window. Out of the window and onto the spiked railings below, yes. Come on, over here. Out you go, you oafish, lumpy, great millstone.
All I want is my help and my career. You're not listening, Avon.
Hey, what?
I said you haven't said a word about your supper.
My little dove, you've done it beautifully. What a good cook you are. The fish was just right. Yum, yum.
What about the potatoes?
Tender.
And the cabbage?
Succulent.
The gravy?
Lovely.
The plate?
Delicious.
Knife and fork?
Perfect.
Why do you spoil everything?
Why, little flower, what do you mean?
You haven't tasted your knife at all.
Oh, well, I mean, it looks perfect. Really. Stainless. Yum, yum.
You're just being nice because I've had a trying day.
Not at all.
You think I can't see through you?
It's the best supper I've ever had in the whole of my life.
I don't believe you.
Honestly. Yum, yum. Yum, yum, yum.
No.
Yummy, yummy, yummy?
Well, really.
Hello, Mrs.
Oh, it's you. Come in. There are dust sheets provided in the hall.
I'll stack the furniture there, then, shall I?
I hope your hands are well washed. I don't want marks all over my pieces.
I scrubbed them with vim just before I come here.
Hello, you got a new telly?
Oh, yes.
You know, Mrs., this place is getting a bit cluttered. I'll have to start bringing a mate soon.
Oh, no, you don't. I can't have my home full of workmen when I'm cleaning.
Well, it's a lot for one man.
I'll assist with the ornaments. You start with the sideboard and lift. Don't scrape the surround.
Been all right this last week, have you? How's all your little kiddies, then?
At school.
That's it. Well, keeps them off the street, eh?
Mind the door, it's not long been painted.
And your hubby?
He's at work.
At work, eh?
Yes, working.
At work, is he? He's a lad, isn't he?
A lad?
Well, perhaps I shouldn't say it.
What?
Can I take the cushions off this eddy? It'll take some of the weight off.
What?
Well, he's got some funny habits, isn't he?
Hmm.
I see him sometimes, you know, with this inkwell.
Inkwell?
Like last night, in this calf.
He wasn't in a calf last night.
Wasn't he? Oh, well, I must be wrong then.
Yes. What time?
Eh?
What time did you see him in the calf?
About 7:30.
It couldn't have been my husband. He was working late at the office.
Oh, well, there you are then. Yeah, how many loose covers you got on this city?
An inkwell?
Yeah. And these forms.
Perhaps he did call in for a cup of tea on his way home.
That's it.
What exactly was he doing?
Well, he was sitting in his calf, having double egg and chips with his inkwell. Hey, do you want the ducks off the wall as well?
Geese.
And he had these forms lying around on the table. And all the time, he was looking at this inkwell and stroking it.
Can you describe it?
What, the inkwell?
Yes.
Well, very nice. I will say that. There's this bottom bit sort of nice and shaped. Nice. And this beautiful pair of inkwells on the top. One for the red and one for the black. Lovely pair. Lovely and randed. You know what I mean?
It's the one from the office.
I've seen him walking along the street with it once or twice.
He's deceiving me. I look after him all these years and this is what he does to me. An inkwell. Why can't he use ball pens like other men?
Here, have a sit down.
You're too kind.
Oh, no, it's not very nice when your old man lets you down.
No one can know what I go through on his account.
Yeah, you know what I reckon? You've been overdoing it a bit. That's all it is. You ought to take a holiday. Get away from it all. Here, why don't you pop down to Southend for a week, eh? Let the family look after themselves for change. Enjoy yourself. That's what life is for, after all.
No, it's too late for me, too late.
Course it ain't. Here, just think of relaxing on a sandy beach in the warmth of a tropical sun. There's a cool, drifting breeze, and the cries of the native fishermen can be heard over the whispering surf as they return, tired but happy, with their catch of succulent crustaceans, timing their arrival with the rising of a golden moon behind the softly waving palms.
Ooh.
A moon that promises romance, and you, surpassing all the beauty of that sultry night, will steal my heart away.
But the children...
My hands long to caress those radiant tresses, for your eyes betray the unplumbed depths of passionate desire in your lovely heart.
But what's your name?
Cherie, je t'adore. Forget about your home or the prison that it has become and leave your jailer husband. Come with me to that Pacific Isle.
Ooh, dare I? Oh,
give me your lips.
Ooh.
Nice place, Southend. Do you the world a good?
Those golden sands.
That's it.
The waving palms.
No, that's Torquay.
The grass skirts.
Aye.
Oh, dear. What's happened?
You've had a bit of a turn.
Avon! It's all his fault, that snake in the grass. I'll give him inkwells. Which cafe?
Well, the Savoy Grill.
The Savoy? Avon at the Savoy Grill?
Yeah, that's it. Next to the fish shop in Oudnar Road. But he won't do him nothing harmful.
Well, little do you know, I'm up to his tricks. He thinks I'm not, but I am. And I'll catch him. Savoy Grill, indeed.
Stand, hey, my wife.
Yes?
What? Oh, liver and chips, please.
Tea? Bread and butter?
No, my wife.
This way's an office, you know.
Understand.
Some
me.
People.
My wife.
One
doesn't
liver and chips.
Understand. Me. My wife. Understand.
Got you.
Oh.
There he is. Arrest that man. He is guilty. Shoot him. Kill him. Destroy.
Blimey. Right in the jukebox.
Oh, fancy seeing you here, my dear.
Explain yourself, lizard.
One liver and chips.
I'm just having a cup of tea, my lovely.
You said you didn't want tea.
Will you join me?
Cool as a cucumber.
Two teas, please.
I'm not serving her. She's hooligan coming in here shooting up our jukebox.
There's no damage done, miss. It was only a figment.
What's all this liver and chips? Don't I feed you enough?
Why don't you sit down, Angel?
You don't think I'm going to share the same table as your inkwell?
What inkwell, heart? There isn't any inkwell.
Well, typewriter, then. It's even worse than I thought. While I'm at home cleaning up, you're gallivanting with typewriters and stuffing yourself with liver and chips.
Oh, good. It was only a figment.
But I'm writing a book.
You what?
My autobiography. It's a surprise.
Is that what you call it, you deaf?
Little lamb, you're
up. You're up to no good. Why aren't you working late at the office?
I finished early.
You should be ashamed of yourself, then.
Two teas.
Have a cup of tea.
I don't want a cup of tea.
Well, you ordered them.
And anyway, why are you having a meal?
I'm here, snack.
Hooligan.
With a typewriter.
Just for company.
It's a typewriter. People know all about you going around with office equipment. It's not normal.
Where's the harm?
You married me, you adulterer.
Do you mind, lady? You're drowning the music.
My husband is in love with a typewriter.
Oh, sweetie pie, please keep your voice down.
Deny it if you can.
You know it's not true.
Of course it's true. I've known for a long time.
Shh, all these people.
I won't be quiet. He's in love with a typewriter.
Blimey.
Ha ha! It's my wife's little way of joking. I'm not really, of course.
No,
I'm no.
Why? You are. Admit it. Come on.
No.
Can you look me in the eyes and say that?
No. I mean, yes, I am not in love with my typewriter.
No?
Honestly, we're just good friends. Dear Vivian Gentle, as a regular reader of your column, I would like to ask your advice. The other day, I was having liver and chips in a respectable cafe when my wife burst in and, in front of the other customers, accused me of infidelity. A portable typewriter from the office was with me at the time, though, fortunately, a rather attractive inkwell I sometimes dip into had been left behind. Restraining my temper, I called her pleasant names in an effort to soothe her, but with little effect. She leapt up onto a chair, threw my liver and chips to the ground, and loudly announced her intention to go back to her mother in Grimsby. Naturally, I don't want her to do this, as she intends to leave the children with me. Please tell me what I can do. Yours truly, P. R. Avon. Mister.
Mummy?
Yes, darling.
Why are you crying such bitter tears?
Oh, Iris, darling.
I'm Frieda, Mummy.
Well, Frieda, my dearest. Oh, how can I explain?
Please try, Mummy. I'm very nearly grown up.
Let me kiss you, child.
I love you, Mummy. Poor Mummy. Why are you packing that suitcase? Are you going away, Mummy?
Sit down, darling. I want you to be terribly, terribly brave.
Please don't leave us, Mummy. We all love you.
Of course you do. Sit down, my pet.
Yes, Mummy.
You see, sweetheart, It's like this. You know that Mummy loves you all, don't you?
Oh, yes, and we love you too.
Of course you do.
And we love Daddy.
That's right, and he loves you. And Mummy loves Daddy too, of course, and Daddy loves Mummy. But sometimes, and please believe me when I say it's nobody's fault, just some teeny-weeny times, Mummies and Daddies think it better to live apart from one another.
Why, Mummy, my Mummy?
Because Daddies treat Mummies so badly.
But you love Daddy, don't you?
Of course I do, Angel. And he loves me, too. And you. And I love you and him and me. He's a wonderful man.
Yes, I know.
It's just that I can't stand the sight of him, sweetie.
So you're going away?
Yes.
You're going away because you love him and us?
That's right, darling. I knew you'd understand.
Where will you go?
To Granny's.
Are you coming back?
No, dear.
Never, never?
Never, never.
And it's all because you love us?
Yes, darling. Will you tell the others sometime?
Yes, Mummy. Who will look after us?
Why, Daddy, of course.
But he's out all day.
Then someone else will, little treasure.
Who, Mummy, my Mummy?
Well, dear, if Nasty Daddy can't be bothered with you, then you'll be legally entitled to contact some awfully nice people whose job it is to take care of little children. That's why we pay taxes.
Who are they, Mummy?
Now, dear, we mustn't be quite so helpless, must we? Just look up children's homes in the telephone directory.
But...
Now, Mummy's very busy and you wouldn't want her to miss her puffer train, would you?
Oh, no. Isn't it exciting, a puffer train? Goodbye, Mummy, my Mummy.
Goodbye, Judy, my darling.
I'm Frieda, Mummy.
Letter for me. From the Vivian Gentle column. Now, what does it say?
Dear Mr. Avon, your letter touched me deeply, and I know that
No, not like that.
Dear Mr. Avon, your letter touched me deeply, and I know that you are absolutely right. Your brave
Your brave sincerity. And radiant generosity shine through every line you write.
Oh, yes, that's it. That must be Vivian.
I feel that to achieve a harmonious solution to your particular problem, your children must be allowed the free choice of leaving you alone.
Oh, yes.
Should their heartless-sounding mother not want to take them with her, you would be quite within your rights to tell them gently but firmly to go away and make friends somewhere else. Children, you know, are terribly adaptable. And as for yourself, society is not as narrow-minded as is often supposed and will surely not frown on your beautiful relationship with a typewriter.
A woman with understanding at last.
There's no shame in being attached to inanimate objects. Don't we all have possessions of which we are particularly fond? A book from childhood, perhaps. Or a pretty plastic Macintosh.
Oh.
I myself am very fond of an old shoehorn I have had for over 20 years and would be most upset to lose it.
Oh, well.
I have written to you personally that as I feel your case needs a more intimate approach than I could possibly offer in my weekly column. Do please write and tell me more about your problems. As a special concession that I make to some of my closer friends, there will be no need to enclose a stamped envelope. Yours to help, Vivian Gentle.
Oh, I'll reply at once.
Forgive me addressing you, madam. I know this is a non-smoker, but would it disturb you if I lit a large cigar?
Please do.
Thank you. I'm a very wealthy man, you know.
Really?
And you are a very beautiful woman.
Oh.
I consider it a fortuitous stroke of fate that we have met.
Yes.
I am a property tycoon, owning the greater part of London and other cities of importance.
That's nice.
How far are you travelling?
To Grimsby. I'm going to stay with my mother.
Your mother? Excellent. I admire a woman who retains her family loyalty.
Oh, yes, so do I. I've just left my husband.
Have you? That shows an independent streak. My name is Sir Walter Plenty. Please call me Walter.
My name is Harriet Avon.
So I may call you Harriet?
Well, I have left him, so I suppose...
Give me your hand, Harriet.
Oh.
Tell me, does the thought of luxury and wealth tempt you?
Yes.
I can give you all that.
Well, we do seem to have got on quite well since we met.
I must confess to you, Harriet, that I'm a lonely man, despite my riches.
I'm sure we'd be ever such good company for each other. After all, we don't quarrel much, do we?
That struck me, too. I feel we are suited.
Are your intentions honourable?
But of course, with me it's marriage or nothing.
But I'm not divorced yet.
Then come and live with me.
What now?
Yes.
But this is a non-stop train.
Not for us, Harriet!
You mustn't do that. They'll fine you £25.
I leave it on the seat.
You are dominating.
I'll do much more for you. Take my hand, Harriet.
What about my suitcase?
Forget the past.
How romantic.
Taxi, taxi.
Won't we have to find a road before we find a taxi?
Indeed, yes. What's all this green?
This is a field.
Ah, you can teach me so much.
We'll have to cross it.
For you, anything.
Have you got servants, Walter?
You'll never have to work again.
I deserve that, I can tell you. I've never had any time off at all except for sleeping, and I couldn't do that for him snoring.
You will be surrounded by maids and butlers in my Mayfair house. Not a finger will you have to lift.
I've struggled and suffered all my life, I can tell you, and never a word of appreciation.
Ah. Here's the road. Taxi, taxi.
There aren't any.
Why not?
Here's a bus.
A bus?
Yes, I expect you're not used to them.
A bus, eh? I see it's already hired.
There's room for us, Walter. Come along.
I have a fleet of cars waiting to transport you anywhere you wish.
All tight.
I've always had the hardship of buses. I don't suppose you've ever been on one.
Certainly. I, too, have had experience of life.
First, please.
I beg your pardon.
Where are you going, my dear?
Yes, of course, my good woman. To 98 Berkeley Square.
Oh, yes, said Cinderella. I promised faithfully to leave by midnight.
And did she keep her promise, Daddy?
Well, just to make sure, the fairy godmother waved her magic wand, and down the chimney, guess what fluttered? 3 happy copies of an SP2 after the Act of 1965, all ready to be signed and witnessed. Let me draw your particular attention to Section 5A and B, said the fairy godmother, in her tinkling, jolly voice, after Cinderella had studied the forms affectionately for an hour or so. In case of any and every default in the conditions and provisions hereinto mentioned, she read...
Pardon?
The owner, that's me, Cinders, my dear, shall thereupon become entitled to recover possession of the said golden coach and turn it back into a dictaphone or stapling machine, whichever is the sooner, provided that the notice specified in subparagraph B of that clause may be included
sweeties,
in the notice
Daddy?
Of default to take effect at the conclusion of the period set out in that notice. Oh, it sounds so pretty, said Cinderella. I'll sign it right away.
Can I watch the telly now?
And all this is yours, Walter?
No, my dear, yours.
How will I keep it all clean?
There are 9 titled charladies working day and night shifts for that very purpose. You need not lift a finger.
But it's so big. There's room for lots more furniture, isn't there? And look at that chandelier. Wouldn't it look nice if there were 2?
Would you like to see your private suite?
Oh, yes. What a lovely staircase. All marble and so wide.
Don't walk up it, my dear. You will be protected from such hardships. Let us stand on the bottom step only. Then, when this jeweled button is pressed, we will glide silently to the top.
Can I press it?
No, no. You mustn't ruin your hands. I will summon a member of the staff. Fanshawe?
Yes, my lord.
Escalators?
Yes, my lord.
Oh, it's just like a tube station.
Is it?
There's no dust anywhere. Is there a separate staircase for coming down?
Naturally.
Oh, I can see the top now.
Another letter. So soon, that's the fourth.
My dearest friend.
Oh, my.
Your last letter put me in quite a whirl. What a handsome beast you must be. Oh. We really must write to each other more often.
Oh, yes, we must.
For only then can we fully learn to understand one another.
I don't want to hear another word about your children having left you.
No.
Birds must leave their nest, and everything is going to be all right, I promise you, you great silly.
Oops. I'm sure Vivian's very fond of me, and she understands about my little friendships. I must reply at once. My dearest, dearest Vivian darling, your sweet, lovely letter has set my heart aflame.
Good morning, Harriet.
Good morning.
Did you sleep well, my dear?
Oh, yes.
It's 11:30. Would you like your early morning tea now?
That'd be nice.
I'm sorry there's only Indian tea. It's the Chinese girl's day off.
She's lucky. I never had a day off in my life.
Milk and sugar?
Shall I help myself?
No, my wife shall not torture herself with these menial tasks.
But...
Now, lie back. Rest.
My darling angel.
That's me.
You create such passionate poetry with your typewriter that I almost swooned away when I read your last lovely letter.
Oh.
What manly fire there is in your blood. I cannot write my weekly column for thinking about you. If only we could meet. But alas, it is not possible.
Meet? Yes, we must meet. My darling Vivian and I. Why is it not possible? I cannot live without her. I'll write at once.
Go on, Fifi. Let me pull the bath plug out myself.
Ah, no, madame. It is more than my job is worth.
But he hasn't let me do anything since I've been here. Just this once. I need the exercise, Fifi.
It is impossible, madame. Suppose he find out.
Well, think how I'm suffering under all this luxury. I've always suffered all my life, hardship upon hardship.
No, no, madame. I must dry you now.
I'm getting old before my time. I can't remember when I last saw a vacuum cleaner. You can see one any time. There's always plenty for you to do. Cleaning, polishing, but not for me. I have to sit all day doing nothing and watching you people working. I've got nothing against you personally, but it's hard doing nothing, I can tell you. I've come to the limit of my tether. As soon as you've got my clothes on me again, I'm leaving, and I don't care if Fanshawe's there to press the button or not.
Oh, please, madame, calm yourself while I brush your teeth.
I think you might let me squeeze the tube.
A telegram?
Yes, 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 you lovely man, stop. Daredevil persistence forces admission, have not lived till now, stop. Feelings wild and passionate, stop.
Dear me.
Repeat, we cannot meet, stop. Cannot keep faith with readers if whisked away to mountaineers threatened, stop. If free would fall into arms, stop.
She will be. I'll pluck her from that Fleet Street dungeon. No one can resist my passion. I'll go at once. Vivian, my heart, my blonde and blue-eyed maiden, I'm on my way. Vivian, Vivian, Vivian. Oh.
Yes, sir, can I help you?
Where is Vivian's office?
Vivian?
Vivian Gentle, you knave.
23rd floor, but you can't go up without an appointment.
Try and stop me, would you, you scoundrel? Have at you, sir. Now for the lift.
to know about. Which way? Left or right?
Can I be of assistance to you, sir?
Ah, oh, vermin, you breathed your last. Fashion editor. Sports. Travel. Is this right? The Vivian Gentle column. Ah, I've found my love. Vivian, my angel, I've come for you. It is I. Together we will... Oh, dear, have I come through the wrong door? I'm looking for Vivian Gentle.
Yes, that's right, dear. I'm Vivian Gentle. Sit down and introduce yourself.
But you're a man.
Of course, dear.
Ah!
Oh, come back, dear. I want you, whoever you are. Come back.
What have I done? What have I done? I must have peace to think. Peace and sanctuary. Sanctuary! Oh, St. Paul's!
Yes, sir, what can I do for you?
My needs are simple. I want a little peace to sit and think and come to terms with life once more.
We'll try number three, court, sir. A very nasty case.
Well, I don't understand. Isn't this St. Paul's Cathedral?
Lord, fancy Loverduck, bless you. No, sir, ho-ho. This is the Old Bailey. Just step through this door and sit down quietly.
Oh.
Oi, no smoking or sandwiches, remember?
No. Excuse me, please. Oh, thank you. Excuse me. Is this seat taken, madam?
No.
Harriet!
Avon!
What are you doing here?
Haven't you read the papers? My little ones, my babies.
What?
Silence in court! Sit down there.
Sit down.
Yes.
Members of the jury, before you return to consider your verdict of guilty, it is my duty to sum up objectively so that you may do this independently without wasting too much time on trying to reach any other verdict having particular regard to the current test match.
Yes.
In my 300 years as a judge, sitting on this bench, I have become hardened in some ways, and it would be untruthful to say that I can find in myself any humane feelings towards this evil bunch of recalcitrant monsters you see before you now. The Avon mob, siblings all, have been in existence a mere 3 weeks. But in that time they have won for themselves a reputation for mob violence and terrorism, extortion and corruption, that is hardly equaled by the more august and historic organizations of Sicily and Chicago.
Yeah.
We have heard how they started off at a time when control in the home was relaxed, stealing jelly tots in an organized manner, graduating to arson by causing considerable damage to a box of matches, which counsel for the defense would have us believe they found, how they went on to deflate the tires of abandoned vehicles in an orgy of mob violence, and then, wallowing in a trough of moral turpitude, how they ran up the down escalator of a London underground station, pornographically defacing lingerie posters with multicoloured magic markers.
String them up!
Yeah. String them up, indeed! But that is something for the jury to decide, and far be it for me to influence them.
My lord, it was the foreman of the jury who made the suggestion.
Oh, really? Oh, that saves a lot of time. Are you all agreed on your verdict?
Don't need to agree. I'm the foreman, and I bring back the cat. Yeah. Go on, Your Honour, you show him. Let's see some action. Guilty!
Guilty! Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Guilty!
Your enthusiasm for law and order does you credit. Well, you doomed little horrors, you've heard the verdict. Have you anything to say before I pass an unwarrantable sentence upon you?
We're innocent, Mr. Judge. We only did it because we love one another and you and us.
Give me back my children!
Silence in court!
It's all my fault, Your Honour.
Who are these maniacs?
Mummy!
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 Ah, cease, perfidious creatures!
The parents of the accused, I believe, my lord.
Why don't they mind their own business?
Please, Your Honour, give my children another chance.
Give us another chance. String them up as well!
Silence!
Now then, What is all this?
I've been to blame for everything, Your Honour.
No, I have.
I never thought it would end like this.
We want to make a fresh start and provide a decent home for our children, Your Honour. If only you let them go.
You let them go? But I was just on the
String
point.
String them up!
Well, do be quiet. Well, look here. I don't mind one way or the other, so long as the rain holds off or they're not all out before I've had a chance.
Everything's changed, Your Honour. We've learnt our lesson.
Marital bliss from now on.
Yes, all right, all right. Case dismissed.
What, after all that? Yeah. Let's trim them ourselves. Yeah. Come on, take a move.
Silence! Be upstanding.
Oh. What's the score? Anybody know?
Harriet.
Avon.
We were foolish to part.
It was my fault, darling.
Harriet, I want you to know...
Yes, Avon.
I love you.
Oh, darling, and I love you.
And the children.
Mummy.
Come here, my little duckling.
And the children, you.
And you.
And you, me.
And me, you.
And me, you, they. So now we're together again.
With the children.
Bless them.
And we're so happy, darling, aren't we?
Blissfully. We've both learnt our lesson.
I don't collect forms anymore.
And you've given up your inkwells.
You've sold all the three-piece sweets, except one.
We're so happy, because at last we've learnt the meaning of love, haven't we, darling?
Yes, that's why. We've forgiven each other.
We understand each other. It's all quite perfect.
What a bore.
You're so handsome.
We'll share all our dreary years together.
And I'll cook and slave again as before, won't I, sweetheart?
And the children will get more and more obnoxious.
I'll start knitting again.
Shut up, Blossom.
We're so in love, you weak little man.
Your eyebrows meet in the middle.
And you've got nasty hairs growing out of your ears.
It's all lovely.
A lifetime of this.
Trapped by each other.
Idiot.
I can't stand the sight of you.
I wish you were dead.
If only I were alone.
Sweetheart.
Darling.
Work three more rows. Cast off five. Pay to end.
Oh, well. Oh, nice. My wife doesn't understand me. My wife doesn't understand.
And then there's the children.
Made in Heaven was written by Andrew Sachs. Prunella Scales and Timothy West were Mr. and Mrs. Avon. Peter Pratt, Sir Walter Plenty. Rolf Lefevre, the judge. And Sheila Grant, the voice of Vivian Gentle. The production was by Glyn Dearman.